At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. A happy Monday to you, America. Wow, so much to talk about. And where is the jumping off point for today? May I just say, first of all, the Super Bowls of late have really just been duds. Is it fair to say that? It's just wow. What a terrible showing for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what was going on. There have been some reporting, which is unconfirmed by our crack team here at the Todd Starnes Show, that the entire offensive lineup was apparently being funded by USAID and the checks did not clear, which could be why they didn't show up yesterday. We're working to verify that. But I'm telling you, wow, what a congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, an email alert went out to the entire city, and again, this is unconfirmed, but apparently a city hall said, we want to congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles and our condolences because as a result, we're going to have to burn down your business. So there was a lot of rioting last night, and apparently to celebrate in Philadelphia, it means fist fights in the street. I don't get this. The Eagles fans were beating each other up last night. Shouldn't they be? Is that how they celebrate in the city of brotherly love? I don't know. But may I just say, I think the true winner here last night was President Trump. I mean, last night, the Super Bowl overall, and I watched the whole thing. And I just want to say that something is changing in the NFL. They're not there just yet, right? They've still got a ways to go, but things are changing. A lot of the commercials were pro-America. Did you catch any of the commercials? They were pro-America. Got to say, I love the Secret Service ad. I was ready to apply. It was really patriotic and moving. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl last night, but I think the big winner was Donald J. Trump. And We've got to talk about the halftime show. I don't want to play my middle-aged white guy card here. I didn't understand what they were saying. The guy could have been rapping about how much he loves America or going grocery shopping at Kroger. I don't know what he was talking about. And my only recommendation there is maybe. Throw out some, subtitles, maybe if that's helpful for the older crowd. Did any of you understand what was being said last night? I'm not quite sure I understand what was happening. I will say this, that they at one point they had a guy running out onto the stage, and this was, by the way, a major security issue. But some guy was able to run around the field during halftime waving a Palestinian flag. And I can assure you, if Dan Bongino had been named the Secret Service director, that would not have happened. They should have taken that guy down right away. But the problem was everybody thought it was part of the act, right? Nobody knew that this guy had like infiltrated whatever was going on up on the stage. But it just seems to me, and I know that Ben Dieter disagrees with you on this, it seems to me that the halftime show would have been a lot more entertaining if they had just set up a desk at the 50-yard line and let President Trump sign some more executive orders. I think the crowd would have gone wild. And I don't know what's going on in the studio right now.
Good morning, Todd. Is it good morning?
No, it's afternoon. It's noon.
Sorry, it's Monday. Todd, I think you're getting a little bit old, because I think that was a wonderful halftime performance.
How do you know?
Wonderful.
How do you know it was wonderful? I couldn't understand a word they were saying.
Well, at least they weren't doing Black Power symbols. I mean, he did kind of talk about the mules, the 40 mules, but I let that slip. I will say visually, it was incredibly compelling. Weren't you mesmerized by all the red, white, and blue men and Uncle Sam?
I don't think that was meant the way we think it was meant. I think they were mocking America is what they were doing.
Yeah, so I didn't want to read between the lines, so I didn't. But it looked very patriotic. I just focused on Lauren Daigle. That was beautiful. She sang
She sang America the Beautiful.
Yes, you could understand what she was saying.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And they had the guy with the trombone playing along. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Serena Williams out there doing a dance?
By the way, you know who else was there? And nobody even knew.
Who?
Jill Biden.
Oh.
And she left Joe at home and she brought the grandchild. So we don't know where Joe is.
Apparently, she's a big Eagles fan. So she must have had a better night than a lot of people.
Kind of in the region there. So.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was, climbing up one of those greased poles.
Wait, what was why were the polls greased, Todd?
Well, the reason why is because in Philadelphia, they like to shimmy up the polls.
Oh.
And they want to tear down, the lighting fixtures. And the problem is, first of all, it costs the taxpayers a lot of money. But second of all, you'll kill yourself. And so when they won the championship game a couple of weeks ago, some college kid shimmied up the pole, fell, and ended up getting killed.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense.
It's dangerous.
So they put like a Crisco on the pole.
Yeah, they lather them up.
Wow. They need to do that at UT and maybe Ole Miss so those kids don't shimmy up the goalie stands and tear them down.
Well, we typically don't burn down our towns when we win championships.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
So you didn't like the halftime show. All right.
It may have been just me. Okay. It may have been just me, but I would have appreciated, I don't know, some subtitles, maybe something you could tap your toe.
You weren't tapping your toe?
No. But hear me on this. There was something wrong with the audio last night. I don't know who was mixing, but it was just a weird, almost muted. The sound was literally almost muted. Mm-hmm. It was just very strange. People were showing videos in the Caesars Superdome there in New Orleans, and nobody was really enjoying this.
Yeah, that was pretty much unanimous. Pretty much no one understood what the guy was saying. Yeah, I guess that goes to what's your goal with the halftime show? Is it to get everybody on their feet singing with you? Do you want audience participation? Or are you there only to create artistic expression? Because you would say it was all about artistic expression. So,
I don't know. I'm just not sure what the point was. Back in the day, usually the whole point of a halftime show is to get the whole crowd involved and you're rocking and rolling. I don't know. You kind of miss the old days of a marching band out there.
Yeah. When was the last time they had one of our guys? Like, who books the talent? So I know they changed it from Pepsi to now it is sponsored by Apple.
Apple.
But come on, why not have a big country star like Jason Aldean? Why couldn't he do it? Are there not enough country fans out there? Or, I don't know, Blake Shelton, I don't know. It just seems to me that they pick the same people every single year. Why not Taylor Swift?
Who's the red chick writhing on the ground there?
Oh, SZA.
Oh, is that the sizzle?
Yeah, that was her debut.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
She didn't get off the ground for the entire
performance. I don't think she could. I think that's the problem. But I don't know. And then poor Taylor Swift. Hold on. Do we have the? This is great. So Taylor Swift, she was like there, and the boyfriend. I will say this: the boyfriend, he had a bad night. And I think she's going to break up. She doesn't like dating losers.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a problem.
Did you see his riz, the outfit? Sorry,
the what?
The riz. People say it's the charisma of Travis Kelce. Did you see what he was wearing walking in? I mean, he looked like a woman, honestly. But it was interesting, the difference between the walking in and the walking out. Did you see him walking out? Was that a tear?
Yeah, they were a little pouty. And I don't know why. I mean, yeah, I know that they were about to do a three-peat, but, you know, come on, guys. It's a game. But, you know, they're caught up in the moment. But I'm telling you, Taylor Swift got booed. She got booed, and they were showing all of this on the big screen. Do we have the – can we play the actual boos?
What are they doing? Why are they booing? Why are they booing me?
Don't they love me? No, no, no. And by the way, Donald Trump was doing some epic trolling last night. He called her basically a loser. You know, the MAGA crowd, they don't forget about that stuff.
Well, here's what was really interesting about this is in Suite A, you had Taylor Swift. In Suite B, you had Donald Trump.
And then Megyn Kelly was getting selfies with everybody.
And then there's that. So Trump actually truthed out after this.
It's true.
He said the only thing, this was Trump's Truth Social, the only one that had a tougher night than the Kansas City Chiefs was Taylor Swift. She got booed out of the stadium. MAGA is very unforgiving. And it's true. You know, she decided that she was going to make herself a big deal in the last election. Remember, she grabbed her cats and she came out and she threw all that she had, her political capital, against Donald Trump and for Kamala Harris. And how did that turn out for her? Like, I wonder if after last night she thought twice about weighing into politics.
Donald Trump, the first president to ever attend a Super Bowl, which really surprised a lot of folks. But this was a big deal. I loved how the players, one of the guys from the Chiefs came running up to Trump on the field, and even the Secret Service guys backed up. They're like, oh, we don't want any of this. And the guy came over and just was so excited to meet Donald Trump. And here's the thing. A lot of those players now feel like they can actually get out there and say, you know what? I am a Trump supporter. I do believe that guys are guys. I think that was the whole vibe from last night, is that it's okay to be pro-family again. There were some great pro-family commercials. It's okay to be pro-faith again. It's okay to be pro-dude again. It's okay to be pro-military again. And it's okay to be pro-Trump and pro-America. And we saw that in just about everything. I will say this, and again, the NFL's got a long ways to go. They're trying to make flag football an official varsity sport for the girls. And so they had this commercial, and the whole point of the commercial, and there was another undercurrent, I don't want to go there, but the main thrust of it was that girls are better flag football players than boys are. And it just seems to me, if you're trying to engender support for a female sport, it just seems to me that you would not want to alienate every man in America, because that was the whole point of that commercial, was to stick at that. And was it Nike talking about, we got to defend women? We got to defend women in sports. This is the same Nike that's out there supporting boys who identify as girls playing in sports. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. How was your snack game?
My snack game was pretty good.
Did you make a cheese dip?
No, I didn't make a cheese dip. Okay. But it was okay.
Okay.
I was a bit low key last night.
No vegan curry.
No, I'm not doing the vegan curry. And I'm never having curry again, and I'll explain that later in the show. Can I just say that back to the halftime show, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, folks. Who would have been, because you know they're already starting to line up for next year. Who would you like to see doing the halftime show? And Ben Dieter, this is who I think we ought to get.
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit. Taste the honey sauce. Taste the goodness of the biscuit with the honey sauce.
Could you imagine all of the Superdome singing together?
I don't like
getting honey sauce on everybody.
With my chicken wings. Taste the biscuit.
Who is this?
Taste all right. We got to take a break. 901-260-5926 is our number.
Todd has a one-track mind. Not everything is about biscuits, Todd.
That's not... Well, not with Anderson Cooper. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you looking to do something to better your health? Well, look no further than Kimchi One from Brightcore Nutrition. Kimchi One packs all the fermented nutrition of kimchi into convenient capsules, arming your gut with over 900 unique strains of probiotics, supporting gut flora and digestion. I highly recommend this product because all health starts in the gut. So putting the right fermented superfood in your gut improves every aspect of your health, your skin, your hair, your mental performance. Kimchi has even been shown to reduce your risk of obesity and promote smaller waistlines. Kimchi One is all natural, made in the USA, and non-GMO. Today, you can get an exclusive offer just for my viewers. 25% off with code ToddStarns by going to mybrightcore.com/ToddStarns. Or call my friends at Brightcore for up to 50% off your order and free shipping. Give them a call right now, 888-927-5980, and their educated staff will make sure that Kimchi One is right for you. That's 888-927-5980. Kimchi One from Brightcore. Improve your health, improve your life. 25% off with code Todd Stearns at mybrightcore.com/ToddStearns or call 888-927-5980 for up to 50% off and free shipping only when you call. All right, welcome back, everybody. It just seems to me that a halftime show ought to be fun. It ought to be engaging. You got a bunch of wild, crazy fans there, and that was just weird. Let's go to Rocco in Georgia, WDUN. All right, Rocco, what did you think about the Super Bowl last night?
It was bad. But the halftime show, Todd, for the past 4 years, I've had DEI and white privilege ran down my throat. That was supposedly something that I was not. Last night during the halftime show, normally there's, you know, hundreds of background dancers and singers and stuff of all different colors and hues and nationalities. Last night during that show, there was one race of people represented in that halftime show. One. Only one.
Well, you know, And again, I don't know. If that was the best they could find or get, okay, I guess. I don't know why it was not all that diverse. Rocco, I wish I could tell you. I will say this, though, Rocco and Dylan, I don't know if you felt the same way. Ben, did you watch the Super Bowl? No, he didn't watch the Super Bowl. So, Dylan, I don't know if you felt this way, but, guys, I kind of teared up a little bit. There was a moment, and I kind of teared up. Something really miraculous happened when the white guy, did you see him? Cooper? Cooper, is it DeJean or DeJean?
DeJean.
DeJean. Yeah. Cooper DeJean, a white boy, got that pick six, ran that sucker into the end.
They did it for his birthday. It was, Todd, you know what happened,
it was beautiful.
Right? Todd, you know what happened, really, right?
Real quick.
The checks for the referees from Kansas City, they didn't clear in time.
Oh.
And that's what happened.
You see, I didn't want to go there, Rocco, but, yeah, I mean, that could be. Somebody didn't get their USA check. That's all I know. Somebody didn't do it. Rocco, good hearing from you, my friend. Thank you for that. Yeah, somebody was Nick Adams. Nick Adams writing, thousands of little white boys will remember Cooper's pick six in the Super Bowl for the rest of their lives. Seeing someone who looks like you played the position they said wasn't for your kind means everything.
The second that he caught the ball and scored it, I turned to my wife and I was like, that's a white corner. That's a white corner.
It's true. Nick Adams says, this is our Jackie Robinson moment.
It's true. Yeah.
It's true. I love. Well, you see, what a great unifying message for America. I love it. All right. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we have got some breaking news. Elon Musk now discovering that we have spent $59 million to New York City to cover the hotel bills for the illegals. Why is this a big deal? Because, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump issued orders stopping all federal funding and payments going out. So whoever did this at FEMA completely defied Donald Trump and broke the law. $59 million. You got folks down in North Carolina and Tennessee. They're homeless, and they're getting kicked out of their motels while FEMA's covering the bills for the illegals. Do you think that's right? Yeah, I don't think so. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code STARNS. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Wow. So Elon Musk and Doge, they are causing a lot of chaos, and it's the good kind of chaos. Now, some things are happening that you need to be aware of. There is, and you hate to think this about people, but I want you to be prepared here. I think we are about to enter a very violent stage in American history. And I say that because a lot of people who get a lot of money from you and me just had their bank account shut down. They're not getting any more government funding. And it's because of the great work that Trump and the Doge team are doing. And we're going to get to big balls in just a little while, but you got to have big balls to do what they're doing here. But I think a lot of folks are going to be advocating for violence. We've certainly seen this from Congress. But there's a guy out of there's a guy out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and this guy is a he's the pastor of a Baptist church, and he's out there now urging, calling for violence from the pulpit, and. Again, we have seen this with a lot of pastors out there, a lot of these ministers that are using false narratives. They're intentionally distorting the Trump plans and policies, or maybe they're just ignorant and they don't know any better. I don't know. But anyway, this pastor out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, I want you to hear this guy and what he has to say. Cut number eight.
And in this nation, I'm worried that we are on the verge of bloodshed. This is an attempt to take us back to a day that we do not want to go and we will not go. So therefore, there will be conflict. I pray that the peace of God will win out and overcome the madness that is attempting to take over this nation.
Here it comes.
And I will say to you, beloved, no one likes violence, but sometimes violence is necessary. When Elon Musk forces his way into the United States Treasury and threatens to steal your personal information and your Social Security check, there is a possibility of violence. Sometimes the devil will act so ugly that you have no other choice but to get violent and fight. Well, someone might say, now, Reverend, you know you shouldn't be talking about violence. This isn't the Christian thing to do. Well, I will say, why not talk this way? Because Jesus did. Jesus said in this key verse, didn't he? The kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. And the who? The violent take it by force. The kingdom of God is a war zone. It is a battlefield. You did know this, right?
All right. This guy, his name is Stephen Caudle, C-A-U-D-L-E. He is the pastor of Greater Second Missionary Baptist Church in Chattanooga. And what you just heard was a pastor using his pulpit to call for violence against the government. That in and of itself is the definition of insurrection. Now, I want you to hear me on this. Now, a lot of times you got these pulpiteers, and they're up there, and they're hemming and hawing and breathing and just doing the whole theatrical stuff, right? This guy was actually reading that statement from his smart device. It looked to be a laptop. So this is not some guy that was just caught up in the moment. This was something that was this statement that he delivered to the congregation there at the Greater Second Missionary Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, was something that was thought out. It was crafted. He was sending a message that he knew he wanted to send to his church. Now, we're getting reports that other pastors around the nation are doing very similar things from their pulpits. So I hope that Elon Musk and his Doge team, you know, these kids that he's used, I hope they are very well protected, because they are going in and they're taking away money from very powerful people, from George Soros to Bill and Hillary Clinton to a lot of these churches. My question would be, how much money is Stephen Caudle getting there at the Greater Second Missionary Baptist Church? How much federal tax money is that church getting? That's what I want to know. And for that matter, and I caught a lot of flack from this over the weekend. I was very active on X over the weekend on the social media platforms. It just seems to me, folks, and there have been some reporting out there. There is some reporting that even some conservative organizations were getting money from USAID or were getting any kind of, you know, any handout from the federal government. I just want to say something about that. I don't care. If you are a conservative or a liberal, don't care. If you're Republican or Democrat, don't care. If you're black, white, Hispanic, I don't care. You don't get my tax money. Now, if your church, if you're a Catholic or a Protestant and your church wants to help the poor people, praise God. But you know what? You do that out of your pocketbook and not mine. Period. I mean, it really is very simple to me. It's black and white. Nobody needs to, look, they already get too much of our money. Why should I be allowing any other groups to get out there and to take my money? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here's what I say. Anybody that took money from USAID or the federal government, and if you're a nonprofit, then you've got to return that money. Period. That's what we got to do. And all of you Christian ministries out there, and by the way, this is the new argument. Well, and I kid you not, Donald Trump is taking money away from Jesus. He is a horrible man. He hates Jesus. He's taking money away from the Christians. Okay, well, let's step back for just a moment. If your Christian ministry is taking money from the taxpayers, then it is not a Christian ministry. It's a government-funded program. And the reality is that all of these NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, they're the ones that are getting a bulk of the government money. Does that make any sense to you at all? I didn't think so. So look, back to this $59 million. All of this money was used to put up the illegals in these big luxury hotels in New York City. $59 million. President Trump put a halt on all checks. Nobody was supposed to be sending any money out. But now we know that just last week, somebody wrote a check for $59 million and sent it to New York City so they could pay these hotels for housing the illegals. And at the same time, you've got North Carolina residents and people in East Tennessee that are living in tents. They're living in their cars. They're living on the streets. They got nowhere to go because there was no money for them. but we're spending all of this money to house the illegals. Folks, I'm just of the opinion all of them got to go. I don't care who you are. If you're here illegally, you got to go. Back to where you came from. You can apply to come here. We will welcome you with open arms, but you got to do it the legal way. I don't know about you, but I am tired of hearing stories about the American people being sent to the back of the line so we can take care of all these other people first. It's not right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Going to the phones, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a jam-packed show on Newsmax. You got to watch it. By the way, Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America, which is why tens of millions are turning off Fox News, and they're turning to Newsmax for breaking news and information that you really need to know. You're going to get some incredible shows. All you have to do is check out your local major cable system. You can watch us on TV, or you can download the Newsmax app for free, and you can start watching today. You're going to be able to find out why millions of people have made the switch and why they're watching shows like the Todd Stern Show. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. He's watching. So make the switch today. Check us out on cable, satellite TV, or download the Newsmax app, because Newsmax is real news for real people.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard... His ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gaines scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." You could call them scent maracas, but most noses call them Gaines scent beads. Try Gaines scent beads. Way fresher than detergent alone.
Coming up, we're going to be talking to the co-chair of the DOGE committee in Congress. Also, Eric Tietzel is going to join us. He is from the Center for American Renewal, also a graduate of Wheaton College, and Wheaton College doing some really just horrible things over the weekend. We're going to get to that story. Also, the Boy Scouts officially are no longer the Boy Scouts, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Let's go to the phone lines here. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
On your deal about the Super Bowl halftime show, I think a very good indicator of what the people enjoyed was right there in the show itself. They had that commercial. I forget what it was for, but when the commercial broke and they came back to the game, they were singing the old John Denver song, "Take Me Home, Country Roads."
Oh, that was a great song.
And did you see that shot where the whole stadium was singing?
Yes.
I mean, everybody they scanned across was standing up, singing to the top of their lungs. They knew the words, from kids to old people to, and that song's 50 years old.
So it was for a company called Rocket. And what I found fascinating about that entire commercial, you had no idea until the very end, and I think it was like a mortgage company or something, and they had their logo at the end, and that was it.
But the entertainer in a song like that that has that kind of impact, that's who you want in the biggest TV show of the year that gets the highest ratings. That person, I didn't watch the halftime show, but I kept flipping back to see when the game would come on. And from what little I saw of the people standing around there, they remember the old RCA dog that stands there with its head cocked like it's trying to figure out what that noise is coming out of the speaker?
Yes. I think that was me. That was me. You're right. And there was a moment where the whole stadium was singing along to Country Roads. And then there was another one where they were doing Sweet Caroline. And, you know, people always love that one too. And you're right. Those are the kinds of things people don't need, some sort of a political message. They don't need some sort of a cultural message. They just want to have a good time. It's a Super Bowl. That's what they're there for. Steve, good hearing from you, my friend. We love all of our great listeners there in Little Rock on KARN. All right, so it was official on Friday. The Boy Scouts of America is officially dead. So now they're going to be known forevermore as Scouting America. And the new version of the Scouts will accept girls as well as girls who think they are boys. Now, Scouting America's woke leadership says they wanted a, this is all intentional, they wanted a new gender-neutral name to be more inclusive because they said the word Boy Scouts, that word, that was not inclusive. Well, isn't that the whole point? It's Boy Scouts should be exclusive for boys. Now, I want to share with you some numbers, and I had our crack team here, the lovely Annabelle, one of our great researchers. She posted some information here on membership. Now, in the 1970s, there were more than 4 million boys in America who were members of the Boy Scouts. I suspect many of you here in our audience were members of the Boy Scouts. Some of you may still have kids in the Scouts. But now, barely 1 million people are a part of the Boy Scouts, and a good many of those are now girls. So now the Girl Scouts have the Girl Scouts, and the Girl Scouts are the girls, right? That's it. That's all they take. The girls don't accept boys unless they are boys who identify as girls. It's all very confusing. But you've gone from more than 4 million Boy Scouts in the 1970s to barely a million members today. What does that tell you about what's happening in the Boy Scouts? There is no doubt in my mind that the moral collapse of the Scouts has really impacted our country. When you go back in history, many of our great generals, our presidents, leaders of business and industry, all of them grew up in Scouting. And what is it that they learned in Scouts? They learned about patriotism and courage and self-reliance. Now they're talking to the kids about pronouns and sex. They're doing Lord knows what to get those merit badges. But that's not what the Boy Scouts was supposed to be about. But that's what the culture made it about. And what they did was those Boy Scouts had very strict rules and regulations. And what did they do? They started chipping away at the foundation of the Boy Scouts. They strayed from their mission. What was the mission? To honor God and country, to be morally straight. And what? And now the Scouts are just irrelevant. They don't matter at all. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Bill. What say you?
Oh, I say you're dead on there, Todd. I'm 66 years old now. My Boy Scout troop was founded the year I was born, so it was easy. But yesterday, we had our last Scout Sunday at church. The troop folded. No boys would join. 66 years and a 110 Eagle Scouts, and it's gone because everything has happened.
Wow. It's sad because, you know, I grew up in Scouts, and I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work, and they really pushed you to your limits. And I think we miss that as, you know, in this country.
Yeah, we do. They started chipping away. It was real easy back in the 80s. We couldn't get men to work for the Scouts and then join up, and they let some ladies in. They started with the Cub Scout program. And that's how they got the girls in. They started with Tiger Cubs because little sister wanted to do the fun things that little brother was doing. Then when they got to be Weeblos, the next year they did it. Okay, we're letting the first girls in. So they chipped, and they chipped until it died. And then they started all the woke stuff. And I think everybody has to get the first merit badge now required is a diversity merit badge or something silly like that now. Everybody has to get it.
Wow. This is why, Bill, we are really big fans of Trail Life USA. I know there are some other good scouting groups out there, but Trail Life is really doing a great job. Their entire organization is rooted within the church. God, country, family, dads have to be involved. I would encourage you to check out Trail Life USA, folks. If you're looking for a great alternative, that is rooted in Christianity. And I know there are others out there, but I'm a big fan of what they're doing at Trail Life USA. Bill, appreciate that call. And I'm so sorry to hear that because many churches, and again, they put out a press release. Oh, we added 15,000 more Scouts. Okay. They were all girls. And you're missing the bigger picture, which is you've lost more than 3 million boys. What happened to them? Unbelievable. So we'll be taking your calls on this. Does it bother you that the Boy Scouts is now known as Scouting America and it accepts girls? 901-260-5926. Maybe you've got a recommendation for another scouting organization. We're also big fans of American Heritage Girls, which is a great alternative to the woke Girl Scouts. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a jam-packed show. On Newsmax, you're going to want to watch. We're going to do a deep dive into what's happening with Doge. Also, the chaos surrounding the crackdown on how the government's been spending our money. So, again, that's 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are honored to have the co-chair of the Doge Caucus. He represents the great 17th Congressional District in Texas, Congressman Pete Sessions. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Way better. Had the flu for a week, and I'm on the upside of it, I hope now, Todd.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Congressman. Feel better. That's no fun at all. No. Congressman, we are watching some things take place which are really shocking, where you have the federal courts, these Obama-appointed judges coming in, and it looks to me like we may have a constitutional crisis on our hand when it comes to the Treasury Secretary being told that he has no control over his own cabinet post. This is insanity.
Well, in fact, what is happening is because President Trump has moved so quickly, so rapidly, Joe Biden did this on the first day that he was president. Because President Trump has moved so quickly in ways that the Democrats thought they had hidden data, thought they had done things that would force the government to spend money and to do things for this coming year. Remembering President Trump didn't take over till January 20th. The frontline Democrats are simply struggling to keep up with the president on what he needs to do. So they've gone back to their old friends, the courts, the people that were elected, who got judges, Article 3 judges. They're now counting on them. I have no doubt in my mind that this effectiveness can be overcome, that the courts are putting up with common sense data and information about the authority and responsibility of the President of the United States, falls directly within the Article 2.
Congressman, we're getting word that, and Elon Musk sharing this information earlier today, $59 million that's being used to cover luxury hotel bills in New York City for the illegals. This money coming out of FEMA, we understand, and there are several issues here. Number one, this money was sent last week after President Trump had already put a freeze on the money. And number two, I thought Joe Biden told us we weren't spending any FEMA money on the illegals.
Well, in fact, the people who've been in charge were deceptive. You can use the word to describe that you would choose, but they did not want the American people to know things. And just like the president was, President Biden was not truthful about his relationships with people, not just China, but moving forward, we now find out that they were there to deceive the American people. The truth hurts, and that is what Donald Trump is gaining. So the question is whether officials of the OMB have the responsibility and authority to come and bring an outside contractor to in essence, gain information that is in government databases. I would love to see that argument in any court where we were able to prove, well, this happens all the time. The facts of the case are the people who've been guarding the hen house thought they had a foolproof way to hide from even Elon Musk their sensitive data of who they give money to. And this goes back to any corruption level that has been maintained for years, either in the Department of Treasury or other departments who want to hide from the American people the truth of the filtering of the taxpayers of this country.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line with us, Congressman Pete Sessions from Texas. Congressman, what has been your reaction to the pace here? President Trump has just been going at breakneck speed, and I think it's hard for a lot of folks in even the legacy media to keep up with all of the things that he's doing here.
Of course it is, but let me tell you, it's created musketeers. And musketeers are those people like myself who are not just cheering him on, but in awe of the way in which this administration works so carefully with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a titan of commerce and industry, and he deals with first-class people. He deals with data and information. He has the best in the business. Why shouldn't the government want and need that for transparency purposes?
You know what this, it seems to me that over these past 4 years, he hasn't just been playing golf, but he's been putting together a very well-coordinated plan that was ready to be implemented on day one after he said, so help me God.
I don't think there's any question about that, but I think, in fairness, this second-term president is better able to see the matters and the heart of the matter that lies in front of us because of the outright lies and disingenuous leadership that Joe Biden had for so many years. Joe Biden had people not telling the truth, and we know at the Department of Veterans Affairs that they ran out of money early last year because of the massive amount, at least $15 billion, that was given to help illegal aliens in this country. Well, it did cost money. Cost money for all those millions of people to get a $1,000 cell phone. It costs millions of dollars to come and cater and bring them in, and it costs millions of dollars to transport them by bumping American citizens to get on aircraft. And that's when you get someone like Joe Biden and Andrew and Mayorkas who were able to effectively have a stiff upper lip and not be honest about things. The Republican Party is going to get to the bottom of this, and we are doing this with the help of professionals who find actual data.
Congressman, I'm curious, today was the deadline for government workers to return to the office. Are you hearing any reports of traffic jams, more people in Washington, D.C. today?
No, but there is conversation. I flew in last night from Waco, Texas. And I heard conversation with several what I would call government workers this morning as I walked my pup outside here. And there is direct conversation about their agreement to come back to work. And I think that they've had a boondoggle. They've had a union president who excuse their inefficiencies and the role that they play that's very important to this country. And I think that they better understand you now have a pathway very consistent with what the free enterprise system is. And that is, if you don't like it, you can take a buyout. I think we're willing to allow both. Either you come back to work or you retire.
It's really that simple. It is. Congressman, we appreciate you. I know you're going to be very busy over the next couple of years as the co-chair of the Doge Caucus, and we wish you guys nothing but great, great success.
Amen. And thank you for giving the spin to the American people that this is their money also.
That's it. That's it, Congressman. All right, we'll get you back on soon. Hope you get to feeling better, Congressman.
You betcha.
All right, there you go, folks. One of the good guys up on Capitol Hill, Congressman Pete Sessions. And he's right. I mean, it's your money. That's it. But today is the day. And, you know, I'm thinking about all of those restaurant workers, the coffee shops. Every time I've been to Washington over the past couple of years, it's been a ghost town. And imagine their excitement, finally people going back in. The work that they're going to get now, and the money, the tip jars are going to be overflowing. It's going to be a great day there in our nation's capital. All right, Caleb Park, our former news editor here at the Todd Stern Show, now a correspondent at Newsmax. And Ben Dieter, I am curious to hear your thoughts on this particular story. There is a new website that is devoted to baby names. And they have now determined the fastest rising popular girl names and boy names of 2025. And I'm kind of concerned about our country based on some of these names here. So the among the names on the top 20 list for baby girls, Lovelin, Elowin, Iceland, Poetry. Who names their child Poetry? Arden, Ariella, and Malone. Really? All right. Those are the top girl names for 2025. Now, here are the top boy names, and this really is disturbing. Here we go. Ozias, Alakai, Chosen, and Tiago. Also Howard is on the list. That's kind of random, isn't it? And Lenny. There you go. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, coming up tonight on my Newsmax show, Michael Cloud, congressman from Texas. Also, Congressman Bob Onder from Missouri. And we're going to have a great Gen Z panel that's coming up, all coming up on Newsmax later tonight. Well, this story out of New Jersey, where a group of high school teachers got into trouble. This happened at Belleville High School in New Jersey, the Garden State, by the way. The teachers are accused of xenophobia. And why were they accused of xenophobia? Because they were wearing Gulf of America t-shirts to school. The shirts were worn during a dress-down day and referenced, of course, President Trump's executive order to rename the Gulf of Mexico. By the way, yesterday, the president declared it Gulf of America Day. We have the story at toddstearns.com. So it turns out a history teacher at the school denounced the shirts and said it was an attempt by her colleagues to bully and intimidate Latino students. Really? Is that the reason why? The teacher writing this on her social media page.
Our student body has been suffering, crying, coming into school, emails from kids saying their parents are not letting them come back for fear they're going to get picked up by the ice raids. Our job is to support these kids and reassure them the school is a safe place and to come here. I feel as if those t-shirts at Belleville High School are sending a clear-cut message to these kids in order to intimidate them and to bully them.
I'd be willing to bet $10 the teacher's got purple hair and she's got a gay pride flag flying in the classroom. I'm just telling you. The school district declined to say if the teachers had been punished. They told local news reporters the matter has been addressed, and then they apologized to anyone who was offended. Also, the school announced that counselors would be available to assist students and teachers who might have suffered some sort of a mental trauma as a result of the Gulf of America t-shirts. No, I'm not making this up. This is all there. It's in the New Jersey Advanced Media story. The teacher who stirred the controversy went on to say that her job as a history teacher is twofold. One is to convey the facts and then to protect children emotionally and physically. All right, so a couple of things here. First of all, the history teacher's job is to teach history, not her facts, the facts. If the kids come out of that class being able to recite the preamble and know that George Washington was the first president and that America, we're the good guys, then I would say job well done, history teacher. Anything else and you overstep. And far be it from me, ladies and gentlemen, far be it from me, yours truly, your friendly neighborhood talk show host, to question the psychological state of that history teacher. I don't want to get into her head. I have no desire to. But if getting triggered by a Gulf of America t-shirt is a triggering event for you, then that is a clear indication to me that you are just, at the very least, overworked. And you might need to take, I don't know, a mental health day. Or maybe go on spring break early. I hear the Gulf of America is quite lovely this time of year. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Larry in Ocala, Florida. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind?
Man, I've listened to people talking, you know, about everything Trump is doing, everything he promised to do. And I would, you know, say he's on the right track, except for there's several things that could be greatly impactful on a everyday life, of not just some philosophy somewhere. And one is the digital currency and the refusal to do it to keep cash alive. And another one, which I heard nothing from Trump about that. Another one is the EPA regulation on Freon, which affects your home air conditioning system. They're in the process, as we speak, of changing over to basically propane as your refrigerant. So effectively, you've got a bomb in your house now. And that's supposed to be better for the environment. And it has what we call forever chemicals in it. Not good stuff. And, you know, where's the regulation to go backwards to what used to work? I mean, well, we're going back to natural chemicals, such as this new Freon uses polyester, all synthetic stuff. The old stuff, R22, R12, R502, it used mineral oil. You know, stuff that we just get out of the ground is not harmful to us. And, you know, where are we going to go back to that? The reason why we went away from it back in the day under the 1992, I believe it was, Clean Air Act, was that it caused a hole in the ozone, if you remember. Where's the hole in the ozone? I mean, it doesn't exist. It never existed.
All right, well, yeah, take a breath, Larry. Let me hop in here for a second. Look, here's the deal. Trump is going to fix all of this, right? And he's doing a lot of it. The guy's a busy guy, and I can assure you that all of these insane woke policies from the left, they're going to get fixed. They're going to get revoked. It may take a couple of more weeks, but, you know, we're starting, what, week four of the Trump presidency? And I got to tell you, I'm feeling mighty good about the direction that the president's taking us in. Larry, gotta run. Thank you for calling in. Folks, gotta take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be checking in. We've got some fan mail that's arrived over the weekend. We'll be telling you all about that as well. In the meantime, if you haven't already done so, head over to the Todd Starnes store. Get yourself an awesome, awesome collection of gifts. Valentine's Day coming up. We have some lovely gifts for the special conservative in your life. ToddStarnes.com. Just click on the store app. We'll be right back, America. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, interesting CBS News poll, and I'm curious, how do you think President Trump's been doing so far? I mean, my only concern is he needs to slow down just a smidge. You know, he stop and smell the roses, you know, eat a Big Mac and drink a Diet Coca-Cola. No need to do everything all in 4 weeks. I mean, I love the pace. I'm just concerned about the president. I don't want him to get winded. Anyway, CBS News has a poll out, and President Trump's approval rating is better than it's ever been before. Take a listen.
He's doing, in the eyes of the public, what he said he would do in the campaign. There's political value in that. In fact, 70% of people say he's doing what he promised. That's whether they approve of him or not. Now, there's another part of this that continues over from the campaign. There were words that he was described as being tough, being energetic, and he still is today in big majority numbers. So as people take a look in these first few weeks, there's been a lot of activity. They're getting that general sense of governance, and that's being reflected in these early numbers.
So that's perception. What about the actual policies?
Well, let's start with the ones that are popular. And again, these echo a lot of what we saw in the campaign. The idea of deporting those in the country illegally continues to be popular. We saw that in the campaign. Sending troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. Again, majority in favor. We'd seen that in the campaign. For his supporters in particular, the focus on ending DEI is popular. We had seen in the campaign a lot of them thought those processes had gone too far.
So all the American people are with Trump. The only people that are standing against Donald Trump would be the media and would be all these Christian groups that are getting government money. All of the Democrats on Capitol Hill who are getting money, our money, those are the people that are opposed to all of this. So I say, good for you, Mr. President. You keep it up. But again, nothing wrong with taking an afternoon nap every now and again. I'm just saying, nobody's going to fault you for that. 901-260-5926. So now you've got the white liberal women, and, you know, they're the savior of the black people. Did you know that? It's you can't make this stuff up. So there have been some great interviews where you've got these black conservatives, and they're out there, and they're interviewing these white liberal women. They're the ones with the magenta hair driving the Subarus. And they sincerely believe that the black man is put upon. It's the craziest thing. So anyway, These women have put together a song, and I guess they went out on the sidewalk. I don't know if they're sidewalk entertainers. Maybe they had a bucket where you can drop a dollar or something in there. Here's what it sounded like.
Trust black women, they lead the way. Trust black women, they lead the way. White women, stop abandoning your sisters. Trust black women.
Language,
oh,
ladies.
Can't you tell?
Yeah, a little pitchy. Just a smidge. Just a smidge. Got to work on the lyrics. Was that When the Saints Go Marching In? The tune sounded familiar. Wow. Okay. There you go. Trust black women. They lead the way. Being performed by a couple of white chicks with magenta hair. All right. There you go. By the way, President Trump catching fire over the weekend for cracking down on South Africa and says they're not getting any more money from us until they stop killing white people. And this has been a story that has been underreported by the international media. But after apartheid, there was an effort by blacks in government positions to take over all the white farms and to kill as many white people as they can. It has been an underreported story, and some of the ways that they're killing people are just unbelievable. I want you're about to hear a South African politician calling for the eradication of the white race and their pets.
You kill one of us, you kill five of you. You kill one of us, kill five of you. You kill one of us, we'll kill five white people. We'll kill the children, we'll kill the women, we'll kill anything that we find on our way.
All right, there you go, folks. I'm with President Trump here. Can we agree that it's wrong to kill anybody? I don't care, you know, what your skin color is, but the fact you're going out there and you are intentionally seeking out white people to kill, I kind of got a problem with that. I do, and I especially have a problem with my tax money being used for that. Have you thought about this for a moment? Can you imagine what kind of a country we would have if we were able to eliminate all of the waste and the grift and the corruption and all of that spending and actually use that money for what it's supposed to be used for? I think we could get to a time when the income tax could, in fact, be eliminated simply by getting rid of all of the grift. All right, we've got some, it's time to check out the Todd Stearns Radio Show mailbag, and we've gotten quite a bit of mail over the past couple of days, and by the way, you can reach out to us on all of our social media platforms if you so desire. This coming in from Anonymous, the irony is that doughboy, Todd Stearns, suddenly wants churches to lose tax-exempt status if they don't suck up to Trump. Well, Anonymous, that's simply not true, although I am a lovable doughboy. It is not true. I believe that any church that engages in politics like that should, in fact, lose your tax-exempt status. I don't care who you are. Talking about the no-fly list, hopefully they get you, Todd Stearns, on that list, you fat blank. That's coming from Andrew Chappie. Yeah, I have the clear, Andrew. All I have to do is show my thumb, and I get right into the airport there. Rich John's writing in, Todd, what do you mean by little people? Does that mean we have to refer to Tiny Tim as Little Tim? You know, this is a good question that Rich John's raises here, talking about we're not allowed to say midget people, and apparently we're not allowed to say little people anymore. So what do we call them? Horizontally challenged? I don't know. Vertically challenged? Rich, we'll get back to you on that. We're going to, we'll research that for you. This coming in from Martha Lewis. Todd, I am so saddened by your attacks on the Episcopal Church. I could not agree more that Bishop Booty was wrong to use the pulpit to bully President Trump. I was appalled and ashamed. But now you're calling us a house of Satan. How dare you? Now, Martha, just take a stiff drink. You're Episcopalian. You can do that. Chill out for just a moment. There are millions of Episcopalians who try daily to live a godly life. I can't believe Todd Stearns would go on a rant such as this. Once again, I am appalled and saddened. Well, thank you, Martha. I don't mean for you to be appalled or saddened, but I do believe that. And by the way, I didn't call the entire Episcopal Church the house of Satan. I called the National Cathedral the house of Satan. Always important to understand the nuance. We dabble in nuance here, Martha. So, yes, you will be appalled and no doubt saddened on occasion, but I can promise you that it won't be the last. All right, there you go. Just some of the items from the Todd Stearns Show mailbag. Can I get to the one where they call me a racist-ass sorry so-and-so? Can we pull up the music again? We've got to get to that one. This music, I sense that people are dancing all over America right now. All right, this is from some Yahoo named Anthony Sane. Are you familiar with Anthony Sane, ladies and gentlemen? He is from Memphis, Tennessee. He's a fellow radio talk show host, but he has no radio stations. So I guess he just talks into the air. That's kind of creepy. Anyway, he's very upset and says, I guess I made it big time. And talking about KWAM, the radio station I own, this racist ass station is so trash. I don't know what he's talking about. And then one of his followers says, I wonder if that B-word Todd Stearns will tweet about you. That's coming from David Simpson. And then Mr. Sane says, I'm sure he will. I hope it blessed him. So I'm not quite sure what this guy's upset about, but anyway, he doesn't like KWAM. Says that all of you KWAM people, and I would assume listeners, are racist. So all of this stems from an incident. This guy, who identifies as black, well, he is black, so I guess he identifies as black. He went to Germantown, which is a kind of, it's not honky town, but there are a lot of Caucasian folk around. I'm just telling you. And he was at an Italian joint, and he said a white lady saw him entering. I'm not making this up. A white lady entered the door. She sees us getting out of our car, closes the door fast behind her like she saw a tornado coming and was running for shelter. We came in, ordered our food, sat down, and she looked around silly. Got up and moved to a different section of the restaurant. Then he says, I kind of hate I missed the opportunity to scare the blank word out of her raisin bran eating ass. Well, I have a lot of questions here. First of all, what's wrong with raisin bran? It's good fiber. Gets you going. But second of all, what does he know the context here? Is he saying that this white woman just saw him and just skedaddled off because she got... What is he saying here? We don't know any context. She just might have wanted to go somewhere else. So anyway, KWAM called this guy out, and now we're the racist. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the Todd Stearns Show mailbag. A double dose today. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Again, if you'd like to drop us some fan mail, you can do that on our social media platforms. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend Art Alley, who is the founder and the president of Timothy Plan. Art, hope you're doing good today.
Man, I am wonderful. I mean, living large, 84 degrees here in Orlando. Doesn't get better than that.
You know, Art, we were talking about this CBS News poll that President Trump is more popular than ever. A vast majority of Americans support the creation of the Doge Department run by Elon Musk. What do you make of that?
Well, it's only about 100 years overdue. But this time it sounds like they're serious. I mean, they've tried these things before, and the deep state seems to kind of bury it and get over it, and nothing much changes. Hopefully now we're going to see some dramatic changes, because, I mean, Todd, $35 trillion in debt is unsustainable, and a lot of that is wasteful spending by bureaucrats and politicians that just want to buy their way into staying in office until they retire. Multimillionaires. It's crazy. It's our money. The government has no money. It comes from us taxpayers, and when we don't pay enough, they just borrow it and give it away.
Art, it must really aggravate people like you, Art, because you're a guy that, you know, I guarantee you have a budget. You live by that budget, and to see what the government's doing every single day, that's got to drive folks like you nuts.
Buddy, you cannot borrow your way out of debt, and these politicians, they just don't, or have not until now, gotten it. There are a few good ones up there, but most of them have no clue how to run a business, how to run a budget. All they're good at is spending other people's money on things that are beyond ridiculous. If you're seeing some of these reports they're coming up with, my goodness, Todd.
Can I share this with you, Art? This information just coming in. I'm anxious to get your take in real time. Elon Musk just shared that 10,000 illegals are using the same social security number voted in the Arizona 2020 presidential election. Imagine that.
Does that surprise you? No. Fraud and corruption is still alive and well, but at least they're addressing it, they're exposing it, and hopefully it'll go away.
You know,
Todd, if I could just make a comment. I mean, we could very well be on the opening verge of a great awakening in America. I just got back from our mirror image in the entertainment industry for what we do in the investment industry, and that's Movie Guide. Just got back yesterday from their annual Movie Guide Awards, which are on par with the Academy Awards. Only they are biblical, they are very spiritual, and this year it was like, I don't know, I guess the best way I can say is we're coming out of the closet and not bashful about our faith anymore. And every award winner, and this isn't strictly Christian, this is any good, wholesome family movies, win these Academy-like awards. And in that audience was major studio heads, producers, you know, not necessarily believers, but they're just sitting there saying, wow, and starting to embrace the fact that, man, if we don't get back to biblical principles, we are toast. And it really was encouraging to see how, I mean, across the board, people were talking about God and Jesus and, you know, biblical values and spiritual values, and it was just refreshing. Kind of like you do on your show.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for that, Art. And we try to have a good time around these parts. In our final moments together, Art, I always want to give people a chance to learn about the Timothy Plan, and especially young families. They're just starting out, maybe looking for a way that they can begin investing biblically. What's one of the first steps that you would recommend that people do?
Well, it's a very tried and true, and it works only every time, Todd. Number one, get out of debt before you're concerned with investing. Families are way too heavily in debt. Get out of debt. That's the best investment you can make. Quit going in. Quit buying things on credit. Just wait until you can afford them, but pay the credit cards down. Pay your cars off, your furniture loans off. Pay your house off, or at least accelerate the payments you're making. Get out of debt. Step number two is create an operating fund where, you know, when the car breaks down or refrigerator breaks down, you don't have to go into debt to fix it. You have a cash reserve. And when you have those two things in place, then you're ready to invest for the long term. And you can start with any amount. You know, you don't have to be a multimillionaire to invest. And the sooner, and statistics prove this out, the sooner you start, the better off you are over time by light years. So it really is important. But then the other important thing, Todd, is not just investing, but invest according to your values and your principles.
Yeah.
And all that means is do not invest in companies that are trying to destroy us. And that's where Timothy comes in. And we do that heavy lifting for you so you can be comfortable. The companies you will own when you invest in Timothy are not operating on a immoral, anti-biblical, funding evil stuff foundation.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd starts.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Wow. A lot happening in the world of Doge. And I want to say something before we jump into the calls here. And we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. So there's been a lot of people complaining. I know Brett Baer on Fox was asking the president, how quickly are we going to be able to see prices come back? Or when are we going to see those prices drop? Folks, it's going to take some time. It's going to take time for the prices to get back to where they are. This is not something that's going to happen overnight at all. So just take your time. Look, be patient. Don't worry. Things are going to get cheaper at the grocery stores, but it's just going to take some time for those numbers to come back down. All right. I do want to go right away to the phone lines. We have a lot of people wanting to weigh in. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee, and Greg on the line. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. This whole transfer of wealth thing, I think it's more money laundering than a transfer of wealth. But if it is a transfer of wealth, the wealth they're getting is from the middle class. I mean, I'm sure Elon Musk pays billions in taxes, but compared to the 180 to close to 200 million middle classers that are paying $3,000 to $10,000 a year in taxes, he pays nothing compared to the rest of us. But I've heard rumors that they've paid celebrities to go to Ukraine for photo ops with Zelensky. The woman who lambasted Trump in the National Cathedral, they said she was making $54 million a year playing with illegal immigrants. They said Angelina Jolie got paid $20 million to go to Ukraine. $20 million. Now, the agreement is we'll give you $20 million, but you need to donate $10 million back to the Democratic Party. I take that deal every day. You give me 20, I'll give you back 10, and I keep 10. That's a wonderful deal. And that's more the money laundering part of what they're showing up and Doge is bringing into the light, is that these people are just flat ripping off the middle class and distributing the money and getting a lot of it back to the Democratic Party.
Well, this is a lot of what you said is spot on accurate, Greg. And one of the challenges we're going to have, and this is one of the issues I have with the social media platforms and X. Bad journalism is bad journalism. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. All right. So I do want to share this info with you. It looks like the video that was circulating about the Hollywood stars getting money to go to Ukraine has now been debunked. So I want to encourage folks, if you see something, for example, there are some accusations being made right now against Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. Hold off on that. Hold off on that because we haven't been able to independently verify this information that's coming out. So what I'm telling you is, if you see something, make sure there is another legitimate source. And if it's not coming from Elon or President Trump, and it involves Doge and all of that, you want to be careful because there's a chance it may not be real. So again, bad journalism is bad journalism, and there's so much of it. It is so easy for anybody to get fooled, and we've been taken for a ride every now and again. So, but Greg, to your point, you're right. I think ultimately, this is about money laundering and getting money into the coffers of Democrats, which would explain why so many of them now own 2 and 3 homes based on their $174,000 a year paycheck they get from us.
Now, how about the condom story? Has that been debunked?
No, that has not been debunked. That is, in fact, accurate. Yeah. And not only that, we were sending contraceptive devices to the Afghanistan people, too.
My goodness. But all evil will be brought into the light. Thank God.
Oh, yes, it is. And we are shining a bright, big light on it, Greg. Thank you for that call. Let's go to Scott in Athens, Georgia. Hi, Scott. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, Todd, I got a question. If it is money laundering, then that falls under the RICO Act. And if it falls under the RICO Act, couldn't Pam Bondi send the FBI in and shut USAID down and do a forensic investigation?
Yeah, at 10,000% correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So why hasn't she done it? That's what I want to know. I mean, why haven't they done this? They need to go for the jugular.
So, Scott, let me explain how this works. You just don't go out and, like, arrest people, right? You've got to have an investigation. By the way, she just got sworn into office last week. So you've got to go and investigate. You've got to gather the evidence. And then you make your case, and then you can arrest somebody.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take time. Look, they're going to do things by the book here. And I have no doubt that Pam Bondi is not only going to go after those people, but she's also going to go after the people who have been leaking information about these ICE raids. Now, late yesterday, we got word that somebody leaked word of the looming ICE raids in Los Angeles. And Pam Bondi is raging about that. So is the border czar, Tom Holman. They're going to get to the bottom of this, but here's what needs to happen. And folks, you may disagree with me. And Scott, I appreciate your call. You may disagree with me here, but let's just say it was some sort of a rogue FBI agent who spilled the beans on these ICE raids. I think we need to name and shame that person. And by name and shame, wherever they are, there needs to be a raid on their home, doors, windows. I mean, everything needs to be, just bust them in. You literally drag the person out. You put them in leg shackles and arm shackles, and you perp walk them. And it is on every single news channel in America. And the message we need to send is we are no longer going to tolerate lawlessness in this country. Some of you may say, well, Todd, that's just overkill. Really? What do you think they've been doing to conservatives? What do you think they did to Donald J. Trump and Melania Trump and Barron Trump? So if you're going to get out there and you, by the way, that is literally putting ICE agents in harm's way. So if you're going to put a bullseye on these ICE agents, guess what? Government's going to come after you and put a bullseye on you. Off to jail you go. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, I got to tell you, a lot of people are making the switch to Old Glory Bank, and I'm glad because a lot of these big banks, and we've been covering the Bank of America fiasco, many of these big banks have been canceling conservative accounts, targeting conservative businesses. Old Glory Bank wants to help you. You can trust Old Glory Bank. They are FDIC insured, created by our good friend, Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, and John Rich. Old Glory Bank, now serving tens of thousands of customers in all 50 states. Here's what I want you to do. Go to oldglorybank.com/Starnes right now. That's oldglorybank.com/Starnes. You're going to be able to open up an account today, and you're going to be able to put money in the hands of people that you can actually trust. oldglorybank.com/Starnes. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines. Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Paula is listening to us on our wonderful affiliate there, the great KWON. Hi, Paula. What's going on? What's your question?
It's a great day, but I do have a question. My 401k, I'm going to retire in a couple years, and I've put away quite a bit of money. I go to get it, bring it out. I'm taxed terribly. Who do I speak to about? Let's get rid of those taxes.
Wow, absolutely. Well, the first person I would do is pick up the phone and call your congressperson, Paula, and let them know. I suspect they're going to be reworking all of that, one of the many plans to, again, alleviate a lot of the tax pain that the American taxpayers like yourself are suffering.
Right, because we pay it when we get it, and we put it away, we got to pay it when we get to it again. So I will. I'll try my congressman, sir.
And Paula, to that point, we're going to have a congressman coming on right after we hang up with you, and we'll ask him as well. So, Paula, thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening to us in Bartlesville.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. And let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Congressman Addison McDowell from North Carolina's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I am, Todd. Hope you are as well.
I am. And, you know, we had Paula, one of our listeners from Oklahoma, just call in. And, you know, she raises a good point. Those 401k withdrawals are actual taxable income. And she wonders if, you know, maybe Congress could do something about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think anything that lowers taxes on the hardworking men and women of this country at any stage is good. And I think in our reconciliation process, we're looking at it. But, you know, in any way we can lower taxes is good. It puts more money back into the pockets of my constituents and of everybody in this country. So I think it's a great thing.
The Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, back in your state today and announcing how they're going to be rebuilding Interstate 40. While that was happening, we understand from Elon Musk that $59 million of our tax money was being sent by FEMA to pay for hotels in New York City. Your reaction to that news, Congressman?
It is absolutely unbelievable. Well, you know what? Actually, Todd, it is believable because these people have been doing these things for a number of years. And the reason you see them freaking out now is because we're turning off the spigot of money that they've been robbing from the American people. And so I think what Elon said about we're going to try to claw this money back, heck yeah, we need to, because this is absurd. I've got people back home in North Carolina, and it's some of the saddest things you'll ever see. They lost everything. And so for money to be going to put people up in a hotel in New York when folks in North Carolina can't access their home on roads and bridges is unacceptable, and we have to stop it.
How are things going there? Is the FEMA money starting to flow in? Are you guys starting to see some movement?
Well, you know, we heard Secretary Noem over the weekend saying that about 80% of cases have been closed, and that's a great start. You know, what these folks were feeling at home was that the government is not helping us at all. In fact, they're probably in the way. And so to have a president and a secretary now that get it and that want to make this right, it's a great thing. And so I think you're going to see it turn a corner, but this is going to be something that takes a decade at least to completely rebuild. And so as much as we can get the government out of the way to help with that, the better.
Are they finding shelter? Do you still have people living in their cars and tents? What can you tell us about that?
You know, I'm sure. I know that the churches in North Carolina have really stepped up. They've opened up their buildings and their facilities to people. There are a lot of trailers that have been brought in for folks, mobile homes to live in. And you know, we don't need anyone sleeping in a tent in winter in North Carolina. That's just not right. And so as long as that is still happening, we need to keep working to make sure that it's not happening.
You know, I still think we need to be holding FEMA workers accountable, especially that one official who refused to provide help to people who had Trump flags in their front yard.
That is absurd. And I think I can't tell you that's not criminal. But at the very least, that person needs to be fired. And I'm sure that they have been. But, you know, we don't need to be. You're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. You're from Western North Carolina. And these North Carolinians, they need help. And so to not help them because they have a Trump flag is ridiculous.
You know, Congressman, I'm curious. Today was the deadline. Federal workers had to go back to work today or else lose their jobs. What are you hearing? Are you in D.C. right now? And if you are, was there a big traffic jam, hard to find a parking spot, people going back?
Yeah, Todd, you know, I flew in this morning, and I did notice that the traffic was a little bit heavier, and everybody seemed to be a little bit more irritated. And so I think that they were, you know, that they got used to not having to go to the office, and we don't know what they were doing. It's a great idea to get them back in the office because that's where they're going to be most productive. And, you know, that's their role. As a person that works for the federal government, you serve the people. And so if you're, you know, at home playing Xbox, you don't deserve to keep your job.
Well, it's really shocking here when you look at the numbers. So far, 65,000 federal workers have taken the early buyout offer. That's about 3% of those who are offered the deal, which is that's a pretty good size job cut. But the reality is, I think the White House is looking for about 5 to 10% reduction in the job force. So I would love to see this happen, Congressman. We're saving money. We're cutting back. We're doing what every American family has to do, and so should the federal government.
You're exactly right, Todd. I think if we can, you know, get people to take this and then just don't fill their position, it's the same as cutting a job. And the federal government bureaucracy has become so bloated that we're wasting millions and billions, if not trillions of dollars on these people. And so, you know, hopefully we'll have 5 to 10% of people that take this offer, and we'll pay them out through, 8 months. And then we don't fill that job, and it'll save us so much money.
Mm. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate the great work you're doing there in the nation's capital, and look forward to getting you back on soon.
Yes, sir. Todd, always good to talk to you.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Addison McDowell from North Carolina's 6th Congressional District. Can you imagine being in North Carolina right now? You're living in your car. Maybe you're sleeping in a tent. It's, what, 30-something degrees outside, and meanwhile, your federal government has been funding illegal aliens living in hotels in New York City. Unbelievable. So look, there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of anger over the Doge Committee and the Doge team, and they're basically a bunch of guys under the age of 25, some of them high school graduates, recent high school graduates, and one of them, they discovered had a nickname. One of the young guys had a nickname. And that nickname has caused some controversy up on Capitol Hill, especially among the folks at CNN. Anyway, the guy's nickname was Big Balls. Cut number two.
Thanks for joining us. We begin tonight with Musk and Big Balls.
Big Balls.
Big Balls.
Big Balls, who worked for Elon Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency, Doge.
In the one case of the Big Balls kid, a literal teenager.
Big Balls online. Big Balls here that Katie's talking about.
A 19-year-old that goes by the username Big Balls.
So that would be one way that we could refer to him.
Young computer whizzes, the aforementioned Big Balls.
Because who among us doesn't feel better about Big Balls?
Big Balls.
Big Balls in charge of America. Air traffic control.
Yeah, did not have Anderson Cooper talking about whizzing and big balls on my bingo card, but okay, there you go. You know what I find interesting here? That CNN, a company that employed Jeffrey Toobin, whose name became a verb, I find it quite interesting. They would be offended by the word big balls coming out of a high school kid's social media platform. And again, it seems to me those are exactly what you need to have a pair of if you're going to be doing what these guys are doing right now to the federal government. Unbelievable. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us. There was a weird story that unfolded over the weekend involving Russ Vought, who is probably the most important person in the Trump administration when it comes to getting our finances in order, which is why there is so much hatred directed at this man. It turns out Russ Vought is also a person of deep faith. He's an evangelical Christian, and he graduated from Wheaton College, which you would think would be a very exciting thing for the school to have an alumni who has reached the pinnacle of power in this country. But they did not. As a matter of fact, they had posted a congratulatory message that was then deleted because a lot of their woke alum and students and faculty complained about it. You know what I find interesting here is that Rhodes College, which is a far-left private school, even they had the decency to congratulate Amy Coney Barrett when she was named to the Supreme Court. So what does it say about Wheaton College that they could not muster the courage to stand up to a bunch of progressive bullies? I mean, even worse, I think it's an ugly stain on Wheaton's Christian witness. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Eric Tietzel is a graduate of Wheaton College. He is now head of the Center for American Renewal. Eric, good to have you on the show today.
Hey, my friend Todd, how are you?
I'm good. Eric, this is, I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time. Are you surprised that your alma mater did something like this?
That's a tough question. On the one hand, yes, I am surprised, if only because the original post that Wheaton put out was so basic and bland that even I, as someone who has been disappointed in the direction that Wheaton has gone in the 20 years since I was a student there, was surprised that this generated the level of pushback and controversy that it got. This was nothing more than a congratulations and we're praying for you, which is a direct biblical commandment, right? The Bible teaches us to pray for our leaders. That's what the college was calling them to do, and nothing more. And yet, the outrage that ensued and the capitulation to that outrage, I think, really just goes to show how far Wheaton has fallen, unfortunately, in the last few years.
I am just reading through some of the hate messages directed at Russ Vaught from many of the people who claim to be alums and people who are in their, I would say, probably 20s and 30s, more so 30s. And I'm wondering what is happening to evangelical Christianity. It's like there's this big broad swath of millennials and Gen Zers who are, for lack of a better term, turning out woke.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Todd, because a sort of top order controversy over the post has generated, and rightly so, a lot of buzz. But I think you raised the much more fundamental and alarming question, which is, what has happened at Wheaton that it could turn out so many graduates who would act this way in response to someone? The most basic question that any Christian college is tasked with answering is, what kind of person are our graduates becoming? That's the distinctive of a faith-centered education. It's forming not just your mind, but your soul, everything about you. That's why parents pay a premium to send their kids to a small Christian college as opposed to any other state school where you get an education and maybe join a campus ministry. They're interested in that full spectrum commitment to the integration of faith and learning to turn out followers of Christ who follow him in every aspect of their lives. And what you see in these comments is utterly out of step with anything resembling biblical faith.
I was, years ago, back when I was at Fox, we did a story when, I guess they raised, somebody raised the pride flag in some building at the school. And it caused all that, and this parent actually sent me a photograph of it, which is what led to our story. And someone who was on faculty at the time, now heads up another Christian university, ripped me a new one. How dare you bring shame to our, you know, college by posting this photograph? And I'm like, well, wait a second. I didn't go up there and hang up the flag. My question would be, why is that flag hanging there? And at that point, I started wondering, what is going on at Wheaton College?
Yeah, unfortunately, there have been several such instances, any one of which is enough to raise an eyebrow or cause a little bit of alarm. But when you just see them repeatedly over and over and over again, and when you get an alumni magazine that is just riddled with references to diversity and equity and multiculturalism and the hiring of new administrative faculty whose entire job is to teach white people that they should feel guilty for the color of their skin, it really causes you to question the deeper. And again, the fact that somebody on campus would have the audacity to say, how dare you act as a Christian brother or sister in holding me to account for the shared faith that we have, really, again, indicates that there's something deeper that's wrong. That is another basic biblical responsibility that we owe to one another out of love, out of a genuine desire that we would all be faithful in our walk. We can't do it alone. Sometimes you need to have that hard conversation with a loved one to say, hey, brother, because I care about you, I've seen this thing in your life, and it's not okay. And as you and I know, you can continue down that path all the way to some pretty extreme steps, all born out of a desire to correct someone so that they get back on track with the Lord. And I think that's what I have tried to do and what other alumni who share my convictions and yours about this have tried to do. It's not because we've lost our love for Wheaton. It is out of love for Wheaton that we're raising the alarm.
Eric Tietzel is a graduate of Wheaton College, now heading up the Center for American Renewal. And Eric, when you look at the reporting that we have seen over the past couple of weeks where a lot of these denominations were getting hundreds of millions of dollars for all sorts of programs, I personally have a problem with that. Even I don't think the Southern Baptist Convention got money. If they did, I would have a problem with that because, again, if you want to help people, then that's great, but you should use your tithes and offerings. You should not use the taxpayer money for that. And I'm just wondering if a lot of this opposition in the religious community to President Trump, going all the way back to 2016, really has a lot to do with the fact that these folks are on the government dime.
Well, there are certainly faith-based institutions in America who made the commitment not to take any federal money. There were big court cases over this, as you're well aware, Todd, in the years. And it was because they recognized that any time you tie yourself to a funding stream, you set yourself up for the possibility of compromise. I think it was Jesus who said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. And to be vigilant about your mission may require that you turn down even something as lucrative and nice as federal funding in order to ensure that you don't compromise on your convictions. Whether Wheaton has taken research grants or other money from places like USAID, I don't know. But I do know that they take money in the form of student loans that make it possible for many people, including myself, to attend a relatively expensive private school. And unfortunately, what we've seen through the weaponization of the government in recent years is that they do use that as leverage to force places to get in line and bow the knee to their agenda.
It's just really shocking, and it's sad. I mean, honestly, this is something that Wheaton ought to be, you know, celebrating, is that, you know, somebody can get an education at Wheaton College, and you know what? You might become a very important, powerful person in Washington, D.C. It seems to me they ought to be celebrating that as opposed to, you know, condemning it or being embarrassed by it.
You would certainly think. I mean, the government is one of the institutions that was created by God to do a purpose. And the book of Romans talks about that, and it talks about the fact that people who are called to government service are actually ministers of the gospel, in a sense. And so here you have a faithful believer, an alumnus of the university, in, as you rightly put it, Todd, an extraordinarily important and key role in doing justice, which is the mandate of government, taking care of the people. And they're forced to kowtow to a woke mob who has put, by the way, their own partisan political ideology at the center of their outrage.
I'm curious, Eric, before we let you go, I mean, you are a graduate there. What are the alumni saying? And are you hearing any? Is there any pushback coming from people like yourself?
Yes. And there have been instances of pushback in the past, but this one feels different to me. I have seen an explosion of outrage publicly, U.S. senators tweeting about this. I've gotten phone calls. I've gotten text messages. I know that people are calling members of the Board of Trustees. I myself have calls with members of the Board of Trustees in the works. I sent an email to President Ryken. I know others have done the same thing. So it may be that finally, this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and be vigilant to avoid liberal drift.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope so. Eric, I know you're going to be on my Newsmax TV show. We will continue the conversation then. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for the time. Great to talk, as always.
Likewise. Eric Tietzel, everybody, the head of the Center for American Renewal. And I'm wondering if you have seen this drift. You know, we're very cautious when we say, you know, send your kid to a Christian school, but be sure to check it out first, because so many of these Christian schools have been co-opted by this, what I call woke evangelicalism. And a lot of that's been coming out of seminaries. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Liberty, is that they are rock solid, rooted in their founding mission, which is to make champions for Christ. They're crushing it. One of the things I love about West Coast Baptist College, they don't take a single penny of tax money, not a single penny. As a matter of fact, the students work on campus. They pay their way through school. Everything is done through the church, and they're churning out some pretty incredible graduates. The same thing over at Hillsdale. So anyway, it's just a great big mess. What are you going to do about it? All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, folks. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Monday edition of the show. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the show, by the way, on Newsmax.com. So if you're still at work or on the road doing errands, you can watch it on their website. All right, want to go back to the Super Bowl for just a moment. And one of the things that just really impressed me, you had so many players that were really open about their faith. And it wasn't so much about, you know, God's going to, you know, lead us to victory at the Super Bowl. It's all about, it was all about something else. Cut number 12, please.
Yeah, why Jesus? Jesus is the reason why we are here today, bro.
You know, I believe in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, whatever hard time I'm in, I always lean on him. And
we're all flesh. You know, we sin, and all sins are equal. You know, but he looks down on us as a proud son. And even when I make mistakes, he still loves me.
My faith is everything to me. But my favorite verse is Romans 8:18. The pain you have been feeling, cannot compare it to the joy that is coming.
He made the ultimate sacrifice. Had his son die on the cross for our sins. He didn't have to do that. That shows like the type of love that he has for us.
Favorite Bible verse? John 13:7, you may not know now, but later you'll understand.
A lot of people look at Christianity like you have to be holy to be in it. Come as you are, and Christianity is for the unholy. And Jesus makes you holy. He clothes you in righteousness. So
what he did for our sins is something that I will always, always be in debt of.
Even when we stumbling and falling, he's still gonna hold us up and show us the right way.
You know, it doesn't matter what your life may look like right now. I know the power of Jesus Christ, and I know who my Lord is, and he has the power to change any moment, any situation, anything.
Yeah, I just love this. And again, it's getting out there playing it was a horrible game, but still, you're getting out there doing your best. Oh, now they're saying, by the way, Patrick Mahomes, they're now suggesting that one of the early takedowns, how many sacks? Oh my gosh, it was what, seven? Seven sacks. They were going to charge him. You know, if you're going to get a sack at the grocery store, they charge you 5 cents. I mean, they were going to start charging the poor guy. Anyway, Mahomes went down. The first time he went down, if you go back and look at the video, it looks like his head snapped and hit the turf pretty hard. So now they're saying he may have had some sort of a concussion, and that could have led to the disaster. I'm not sure that Patrick Mahomes' concussion led to the entire offensive line disintegrating like one of those paper straws. I'm just telling you, it's not good. Not good. But anyway, overall, I thought it was a good Super Bowl. The ads were really good. Nothing really like, you know, I mean, there's usually one that's just hilarious. I didn't catch that this go around, but I will say that I thought the patriotism and the Secret Service ad was so well done. So well done. Here's President Trump getting applauded at the Super Bowl. Cut 15. They love the guy. Just cheering. He's up on the Jumbotron. And this is Taylor Swift, cut number 13. Oh, my. Yeah, that's uncomfortable. She was looking on the Videotron. You know, when that happens, you just got to smile and wave to the crowd. She was not used to that. She was not used to getting booed and heckled like that. And it caught her off guard. And she was like, why do they hate me? Well, Taylor, let's sit down and let's have an off-the-record conversation. By the way, is it true Travis Kelce would not sit down for a post-game interview? I'm telling you, some of those guys, you know, you get to see their true colors when they lose. It's not pretty. It is not pretty. So anyway, there you go. And apparently the UFL kicks off in a couple of weeks. So more football. That's the Memphis Showboats. We actually have a team in that particular, and people actually turn out for the Showboats games. But anyway, there you go. There's that. All right. Again, folks, ToddStearns.com, we're working really hard to revamp the site and really make it a true landing page for all of you great conservatives out there. And I think our team's doing a terrific job. Now we've added comment functions so you can go in, you can have conversations, you can start conversations. That's a lot of fun. We also instituted a daily poll, and thousands of you are taking part in our daily polls, and that's pretty spectacular as well. So I would encourage you to head over to ToddStearns.com, bookmark our page, and then you can sign up for our free newsletter and also our free podcast, which is now one of the top podcasts in America. That news coming out Friday, that from Triton Digital, we are the number 8 ranked conservative podcast in America. And overall, out of all the podcasts in America, we are ranked, I think, 84th in the nation. And that's only because of you guys. You guys did that. And I can't thank you enough for telling your friends, your family, hey, check out the Todd Stern Show. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a lot of fun. And so thank you for that. We're just going to keep doing what we do every single day here. All right, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. It's been a great day, a busy day. President Trump going to be signing more executive orders tonight. We're going to bring that to you live on Newsmax as well. In the meantime, get out there. Have a great day, everybody. You be good, America.